This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We had a great weekend. It was a beautiful, beautiful weekend in the A. It's going to be a great week as well. We know we are not going to be able to get the considered best edge rusher in this draft in Abdul Carter out of Penn State. We suspect he's going to be a top three pick, and the Falcons aren't going to move to go get him, Mike. But there are other guys we've been spending a lot of time on and talking about, including Georgia's own Jalen Walker and James Pierce from Tennessee, Mike, and Mike Green, and Mike Hill Williams, that is, from Georgia. One or maybe two, maybe even three of these guys, Mike, if we stay at 15, should be there.
Yes. After all this conversation, and we got, a week and a half, and we'll get to the draft, we'll be at Mercedes-Benz live, Dukes and Bill, on the field. And will we have an overwhelming outpouring of excitement, joy, applause when the pick is made? Or will we have what we've had three of the last 4 years? A kind of look where some folks turn and go, what?
If it's defense, I think Falcon fans will. You may not agree with the person, the pick. But if it's defense, I think you're going to feel good. Because that is the area of concern, right? If I asked you guys right now, all right, what's our issue? Would most of you, 90% of you, say it's offense? None of you would. You're not going to say quarterback. Right. Most of you would not say it's offensive line, even though I would like, as Mike has said, if we can upgrade and get some extra help there, great. But most of you would say, no, man, the issue with us is defense. So, Mike, I think if it's defense, they're going to be fine. But then what position are we talking about? Because doesn't that also change how you feel?
Yeah, as I said, I mean, everybody who loves a Madden game and thinks, and there's, we have a lot of listeners who think the NFL is a Madden game. And generally, it's because we've run this thing like it's a Madden game over the years. But you've got to have a protection for Michael Penix Jr. And this is the great debate. Do they feel with their new, you know, the new coaching staff and some of the wrinkles and pieces that are there, they can get more out of Caleb McGarry because he's got to do a better – like, I think we can all agree, whether you think they should draft a tackle or not, he's got to do a better job.
Yes, I agree. All right, more on this coming up, guys, as part of our Falcon Report. It's on the way. What shook college football to its roots happened this weekend, and now there's a lot of conversation about where it needs to go. We'll get into that as well here in the next 20 minutes. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. First and foremost, they're in trouble. And I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints, guys. Derek Carr's season is in jeopardy due to a shoulder injury. He's contemplating surgery. They're saying if he has a surgery, he probably will not play this season. Mike, even if he doesn't, I don't know how effective he's going to be. So this gets us back to the draft conversation where they pick 9th. And if you are the Saints and you now know this about Derek Carr, even if it wasn't an injury, you still got to be thinking about the future. They don't have their future quarterback. I said this to you last week. I don't necessarily think they believe in Spencer Rattler. I think they have to go QB now with the 9th overall pick. But Shador may be gone. Then you're talking about Jackson Dart or one of these other, maybe Jalen Milroe.
Well, now, all of a sudden, now again, take it with a grain of salt, as we always say, when it comes up with Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk. But now, all of a sudden, now, is Aaron Rodgers' camp going to start using the Saints for leverage with Pittsburgh?
Ooh.
Or again, is the Minnesota thing dead, I guess? Sounds like it.
It feels like it.
But it certainly, it's back burner. If it is, it's a slow burn. But yeah, now, all of a sudden, maybe Aaron Rodgers looks at the Saints, you know, and says, hey, you know, I mean, maybe they're, now Aaron Rodgers, that's a thing. What is it? What's the end game there? Do you then figure, hey, if we're the Saints, can we get back in the playoffs if we draft some impact? I mean, what they need a lot of stuff. They need the heir apparent for Cam Jordan. They need some receivers. They need more playmakers.
Would they kick the tires on Kirk Cousins?
Would you be cool with him in the division, or would you like to pummel him like a friggin' pinata?
Get him out of here
twice a year. Yes. I'd pay to see that.
Get him out of here. Listen, I don't know if...
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
We know. I don't know if or when this is going to happen or if it even will. My point is, if anybody calls, Terry, you take the phone call.
Yes.
If it's Mickey Loomis, you take the phone call. I don't care who it is.
I think you got to. You got to look at it that way. Now, the Saints, nobody really who's looking for a quarterback right now, save for maybe Pittsburgh, was going to give you anything. They don't have to.
No.
Kirk's got, guys, we've laid this out for you. You guys know, I think you know the whole primer on Kirk. He's got, he can say no. He's got the first right of refusal on these deals.
You know what? It just dawned on me. Terry can make this right. He could get rid of Cousins to the Saints. He worked in that organization. He can make this right, Mike. He knows everybody there. He can make this right if he wants to.
Now, ironic you say that because many Falcon fans have said for 4 years now that he is actually a sleeper agent
that
was sent by New Orleans. It's not the Manchurian candidate. It's the New Orleanian candidate. And that Terry has been operating in some kind of, I don't know, mind control Mickey Loomis plot. You know, that Frank Sinatra was involved in the original. The Denzel one was zero. I give the Denzel movie credit.
It was good.
It's pretty good.
It was
good. It's hard to take a classic and redo it. But, yes, can we get him off the budget? No, probably not. No one's going to pay. Look, can you get a sixth or a seventh round pick and someone's going to give you, what, $5 million? See, I don't think anyone's going to give us anything for Kirk Cousins. They're going to wait for us to cut him.
Just call Mickey and say, Mickey, remember that weekend? I still got the photos.
Do you think I need
to take Cousins
on draft night? Is it like Reggie Jackson in The Naked Gun? I must draft a tight end. I must draft offense. No. I must draft offense.
Come on. He is not under some spell.
And for those of our audience, I'd like to think many of our older audience know the original Manchurian candidate. The idea was you get brainwashed by the enemy. In this case, troops wandered and got captured by the Koreans, and then they did a mine on them. It's a great movie, the original. And then the Denzel happens in the Gulf, but it's a great movie as well.
Yeah, when the Gulf War is going on.
Right.
Yeah, it really is. Meanwhile, guys, outside of the car injury, the Cousins thing is still looming, but the options are dwindling, and that's what I think we went from, right. Mike, the start of the offseason, somebody calls, and we had all these opportunities and options, and now you start to look and you're going, okay, really, what are the opportunities? Do you believe, as you said, the Viking situation is still viable? Not unless he's going to go be a backup.
Yeah,
J.J. McCarthy's got that job.
He does not want to play anywhere where there's going to be the specter of somebody being drafted. Well, I mean, there's a bunch of teams that are going to – no one's going to draft Kirk – no one's going to sign or trade for Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to be the long-term answer.
Nope.
Can't believe that. I mean, yeah, you'd have a potential two-year deal they'd sign with a chance for a second year, but be all sort of escalators and all that. Look, we all know that the Giants have got quarterback redundancy right now, right? Saints don't, so that's a good point. Steelers, everyone thinks there's a sort of a pain threshold or a moment, at least what I've read. We're talking to Brian McFadden. Brian McFadden says they played the hand this long, they're going to be in it until the end.
Continue.
But, I mean, I just don't know if we're going to see Kirk Cousins sign with the Steelers before. I think everyone expects it to happen before the draft. It might not.
Does it bother you? See, I'm not one of these. I don't get caught up in this
I said Kirk Cousins. Aaron Rodgers, check that, because Kirk Cousins ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, but I don't get caught up in this whole you can't trade him in your division thing. I just
no,
don't.
Get rid of him.
I'm not so, you know, like against that. And I know some of you are like, well, what if he helps them win the division? Guys, that team is in total rebuild mode. And by the way, we should have won the division last year. So this idea, like all of a sudden he goes there, if it was to hypothetically play out that way, I don't think that takes him over the top. But if you want to be a starter, Kirk.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. Where can he go and be a starter? Those opportunities have dwindled.
There's just not that many teams. If you look at the NFL Monopoly Board, Carl just laid it out. Or teams are going to be looking for a new quarterback. Now, there was a talk, Bill Barnwell, that article that people are laughing about, said maybe Tennessee would have him as a stopgap guy while whoever they draft eventually gets on the field. Look, if you're drafting a quarterback in Tennessee, everyone wants to see that guy on the field. End of story.
Yeah.
And what's he going to learn from Kirk Cousins at this stage?
Nothing. Well, not that. I just feel like if you got the number one pick, that guy's got
to play. Let me tell you how to bamboozle the media and the team, okay?
Right.
And then play it for laughs at the Super Bowl.
That's not right.
Hey, by the way, we know this team. You said it earlier about what are we going to be drafting. They certainly, in the building, based on what we've read and heard, believe in the guys that we've seen and we've drafted. We haven't seen on the field yet, like Braylon Trice, because he got injured last year.
Yeah.
I know we ask D-Lett all the time, and D-Lett always goes, he ain't nothing, he's just a dude. But there was another article saying they think that Braylon Trice could be the secret sauce and creating a pass rush this year.
Well, look, it's the big unknown. The only guy I saw enough of to feel confident about, I've told you, I feel good about Rook. growing and getting better.
And I don't feel as high about, I mean, I'm with you, but I'm a close second about Roop.
Okay.
Need to see Mo.
And the other guys, I can't sit here and tell you that they're going to be studs or game changers or any of that stuff. They, all they're going off of, Mike, and again, a guy like Trice, we're talking about limited practices. He didn't get hurt halfway through the season.
Man, he's coming off a knee injury at the first preseason game.
So all they're going off of is, again, the evaluation of when they drafted him, and they feel like, you know, he's going to bring something to this defense, and hopefully he does. But, yeah, I can't sit here and tell you that.
Hey, you know, again, it's pretty funny. We talked about this all offseason. Onyemata's still here. You know,
and yes, he is.
And so, I mean, that's going to be your rotation to be Rook and Onyemata. Remember, guys, I mean, technically it's a three. I mean, you know, we get hung up on the 3-4-4-3. I wish it was a 4-3. But Onyemata in the middle and then Rook coming in that rotation, right? In the middle.
Well, Rook's going to start. You're great.
Because he's listed as edge.
Well, yeah, but right. You can move. That was the versatility of him, is you can play him inside or out. That's why you could have Grady on the field and have him on the field at the same time. Now that Grady's gone, Rook's starting.
And don't forget, guys, we hired Morgan Fox. We got Morgan Fox, Leonard Floyd. I mean, it kind of reminds you a little bit of what we did to a degree in 21 when we didn't have a lot of cap space. We were just kind of bringing dudes in. Hopefully they get the most out of this Ulbrich, man, this defense. Imagine if Troy – what if Troy Anderson becomes like our defensive player of the year?
Well, it'd be great.
I mean, if he stays on the field.
Yeah, that's – look.
Too many ifs in this equation.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, every guy, there shouldn't be a big question mark by. The great defenses, they have a statement next to their name. You talk about, you know, whether it's the Eagles guys, the Chiefs had a really good defense again. I mean, you go start listing out the names on those defenses, and there's can play, great, mm-hmm. elite, all pro, Pro Bowl. We don't have that next to our guys' names.
No.
So that's the thing right now.
No, it's again, Caden Ellis we like. Maybe Caden Ellis begins to pop. We do know, and we talked about this last year. Jimmy Lake was the bad hire. There's no other way to call it. It wasn't a good fit. And then when the coach, whether he wanted to admit it, he wanted to, you know, basically embarrass his buddy, but when he got more involved in the defense, all of a sudden Caden Ellis had more impact. Eba Cady, right, had a little bit more impact.
Yep.
So it seems like things started to play a little bit better. Secondary was still kind of a hot mess at times. But, yeah, all these guys in the rotation, Kentavious Street and Zach Harrison still on the team, big dude, you know, got the big body, has never made do anything with it. So we'll see.
We're going to talk more about it coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, because we do have a few things that we need to tell you as we count down towards the NFL draft. Your thoughts are welcome, as always, at 404-726-0929. Mike brought up a good thing, though. I think you should be happy if we draft defense. You may be disappointed if it's a corner because you want edge. You may be disappointed if it's one of these big defensive tackles because you want edge. But if they go defense, we should overall – just generally speaking, be excited about the fact that they're actually drafting defensive players, Mike, in the first round, and guys that hopefully come in and make an impact.
And again, I've seen a lot of mock drafts where Will Johnson from Michigan comes in.
Yeah.
A lot of guys like, but I always get skittish with the injury thing. That's what I'm like. That's why I know we need another corner, technically opposite AJ, and then Mike Hughes will slide into the, you know, into the sort of nickel guy role. But yeah, you're right. I'd be less excited about a corner over an edge.
All right, man. Plenty more to get to. Grant's going to join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour to talk some baseball and what's going on with the Braves. They lose 2 of 3 to the Rays. They are headed to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. And Grant Holmes, by the way, on the hill tonight. He's 0-1, 4 ERA. He hadn't pitched terrible, but again, when you don't get run support in these games, Mike, and you're not throwing 7 innings, it makes it hard for these guys to get the dub. All right, when we come back, it shook the college football world, and it should have, but who's to blame? It's Dukes and Bell. It all went down in Tennessee when their quarterback, Nico Iamaleva, didn't show for practice, missed meetings. And then they had to make a decision. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But the entire college football world is reacting to this. Now, Georgia had their spring game this weekend, and Kirby would tell you he's focused on his guys, and rightfully so, and I think Brent Key would tell you the same thing. But to ignore this is ignoring what's going to happen in the future with college football, and it may be your team. It just so happened, Mike, that it's Tennessee right up the road. And whether you agree with the decision for Tennessee to move on from him and Josh Heupel, their head coach, who I'm going to let you hear here in a second, this kind of shook the college football world, because it's the first time we've had a situation where a guy went, I want some more money, and then basically said, I'm not showing up. And the team and certainly the university had no recourse, Mike. It's like, well, what are you going to do?
I just thought that Josh Heupel, number one, did the right thing, because it sounded like, in reading the Knoxville papers, you lost the locker room. You can't have this guy back in the room. He's not a leader. Your guys are looking around now. I know it's a little bit different. We are getting now into semi-pro as far as college, but I do think guys may say, hey, man, get your bag, get your money, but other guys are going to go, like, I'm not going to war with that guy. I think it's a mix, because, you know, it's one thing in the pros, you're a professional now, but in the college game, you buy into, like, the coach's slogans, right, Carl? It's everybody pulling in the same direction, chopping that wood, all that other crap. So you want to have, you know, a guy on point who's your leader you believe in. I love the fact that Tennessee said, hey, man, hit the bricks.
So Iamaleva had 13 games where he threw for 2,600 yards, 19 touchdowns. Mike and I debated this Friday when this whole story kind of broke, which was he good enough? Is he good enough? The problem is, guys, it's not whether you're good enough. It's what the market bears. And when you're seeing other teams around college football give Carson Beck, Miami, $4 million, allegedly, then your quarterback going, well, why can't I go get $4 million when I'm only making 2.4? The problem is Tennessee was taking care of this kid, Mike, in high school, and you go back to recruiting him and agreeing to, without a CBA, guys, without a collective bargaining agreement, hey, you're going to come, right? Yeah, I'm going to come. How much you need? $8 million. $8 million. All right, evaluations, $2 million a year. You're coming, right? I'm coming. That's it.
Yeah, man, 9 of his touchdowns happened against Vandy, UTEP, and Kent. And that's something a lot of Tennessee fans were talking about, you know, on Friday. And then just, you know, as you said, the idea that, you know, it really, like, the day of practice that you're gonna throw this stuff out there. So it's funny, Dan Lanning. I love the behind the scenes stuff, which is now coming out in the Athletic article that basically says, hey, Josh, we've heard through the grapevine that they're shopping your boy. Your starting quarterback's family or camp, you know, Iamaleva is talking to people. And now, and if you do believe, like, that, I'm going to make this, it's all on him. He becomes the bad kid. He's the kid who pays for the sins of this generation because NCAA screwed this thing up. But it is kind of funny. Article from SI says the only two teams that are serious right now about him are UCLA and Tulane.
So rules, believe it or not, there are a few. He can't transfer in the spring transfer portal into the SEC. So that is why you're not going to see him land in the SEC. Now, he can go anywhere else.
Right.
But
Big Ten, obviously.
Correct.
That's where UCLA is in now.
And people have, you know, hinted at Ohio State and all of this. Listen, kid 6'6", he's talented. But Mike's right. I can't look at this and say that he is the devil in all of this when the system is allowing him to do this. Mm. And so the system itself, guys, is broke. I've been saying it for a long time. And now you're seeing the consequences of this kind of stuff play out when everybody said, oh, kids need to be paid. They got to get paid. We all think they need to be paid. There are no guardrails and there are no rules and regulations and there's no CBA. This is not the NFL. It's not. There's recourse when a guy sits out. There's something a team can do when a guy says, hey, I'm not going to be there. There's recourse when a guy leaves and a team gets additional draft picks. They don't have that in college football. So when a guy does this, Mike, you're going to see this happen again. Trust me.
Right.
And it may be your team. And you're going to be like, I can't believe this kid is doing this. The system is allowing them to do it.
Well, I mean, when we do get this ruling from this judge, when is this ruling coming, by the way?
Taking forever.
And maybe we eliminate anything pre-on-campus compensation. You don't get a package deal when you're in high school. That might be a nice starting point, right?
Yes.
I don't know. But in this case, I just felt that, you know, Kirby kind of put it out there, and I said that is Kirby the new Nick Saban in the sense that he puts it out a few weeks ago. We need people who love the game. Yes, understand these kids are going to make some money, but you got to have a love for the game. And I'm not saying that all the SEC coaches or anybody else is going to collude because at the end of the day, if your job's on the line, you'll pay the kid the money if the NIL money can be got. But it is kind of refreshing in the sense that, and again, I'm not blaming Nico. Make sure you get it right. But somebody in that camp and his dad tried to play babe in the woods. I don't know anything about asking for money.
Who else is he listening to, Mike?
Right, come on, where's this coming from? You know, and so you look bad at the end of the day. It doesn't help you. And now if you bounce around two or three other teams, now you're the problem child. Now you're the red flag.
Yeah.
And by the way, statistically, and this is what I was talking to you on Friday about, he's got the 8th most touchdowns and the 8th most passing yards. He wasn't even like top 5 in the SEC last year.
I agree.
So he doesn't even deserve the money he's trying to get based on merit.
Well, that's the thing, though. He could also say, I led us to the playoff. We got 10 wins. Hey, I did what I needed to do. And I get it, Mike. Like the argument of what is the value. And see, this is the problem. This is the other problem I have. Rusty, and it's not Rusty Manziel's fault, but we've had this conversation. When a kid is coming out of high school and you put a number on him, right, and he believes that that's the number, right? Even though he hadn't played a down and hadn't done a lick for anything, you start to say, well, this kid is worth X amount of dollars. Well, then, Mike, that's the starting negotiating amount. Mm. That's not on the kid. That's the process of us saying he's a five-star, and guess what? Yeah. He's going to be worth this amount of money in NIL. So the kid goes, great, I'm worth $10 million. That's what I better be getting.
Yep, but I do think, you know, there's going to be at some point, you know, just like anything else, there's got to be a degree of performance that comes with the money. But that's not the way it works. It is basically now you're more like an NBA player than an NFL player. The money is guaranteed. You know, the NFL, you get a signing bonus, and that's it. They can pull out the contract and say you're out. Not the way it works at Carlos Point in college. There were parts of this season where they kind of the offense functioned despite him.
I agree.
Where they went much more run heavy.
I agree.
And I thought, you know, because remember we talked a couple of times about, you know, what happened to Nico Iamaleva, because this guy's going to be all world, especially after last year, you know, where, you know, you think, okay, this guy's going to be really going to take that next step. Yes, they did go to play Ohio State. Like everybody else in that game, he didn't do anything for the Volunteers in Columbus. But, yeah, now they move on. And a lot of folks, you said it, though, that folks around the country will be going like this with their hands together. Yeah, yeah, kid. You're greed. So, yeah, it's a shame for the young man, but I think he got some bad information.
All right. What does his coach, Josh Heupel, think about Iamaleva leaving and the decision that was made? Here's what he said.
The situation and where we're at with Nico, I want to thank him for everything that he's done since he's gotten here. You know, that's as a recruit to who he was as a player and how he competed inside of the building. And so a great appreciation for that side of it. Obviously, we're moving forward as a program without him. You know, I said it to the guys today. There's no one that's bigger than the Power T, and that includes me.
Yeah, man. And they were about to go up old Rocky Top looking for $3 million dollars for this guy.
Yeah, but I love this. And here's the reason why. You can't allow people to hold you hostage.
Nope.
And if you allow Nico to do this, and I said this over the weekend, Mike, on the national show, then your star wide receiver goes, I'm not getting enough. Then your star running back goes, oh, I'm definitely not getting enough. And then your star left tackle goes, well, I need a little bump. It just trickles down. And everybody, again, wants to say this is the NFL. It's not. There is no agreement between these kids and these universities outside of what they promised them in NIL. There's nothing written. There's no contract, Mike, that says Nico needs to stay there for 3 years. And in that 3 years, here's the terms of the deal. And until we get that, you're going to see stuff like this happen because these kids know whether he goes to a lesser program, the point is he's still going to get to play. He's right. Still going to get to prove whether he's good enough to maybe go to the NFL. But the fact is, Mike, it used to be, you know, you do something like this and you were ostracized from college football. You weren't going to go anywhere. Now he's going to go somewhere else. Somebody's going
to
pay this kid.
Well, that's just it.
Glad to be a part of this great conference. finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten.
Now, for those who don't remember, that's the UCLA football coach. And what was his name again, Carl? Sean Foster at the Big Ten Media Days when he basically vapor locked for about 20 seconds. And for that might be the dude leading Nico Iamaleva to battle. Or he'll be playing for the Green Wave of Tulane. I guess Stakes going to have to kick in for more of his contributions as an alum.
He's got it.
But I mean, but this goes back to, you know, where we should be in college football. Now, I don't know what this judge and how this ruling comes out because basically you're going to have a salary cap. It sounds like around the number keeps being thrown out as $20.5 million, and that's what each team is going to operate under. But that doesn't preclude you from having, as Carl said, a guy put a gun to your head, and there will be some other coach who's about to get fired who knows he can be the guy, the special sauce. For instance, what if Anthony Richardson, Florida, could have come up with more money to keep him at Florida, and then Billy Napier doesn't maybe have such a hot seat, which he was able to ride out? But this is where you're living and dying on the whims. It's one thing on recruiting for the whims of kids, but now you got Uncle So-and-so or the dad. And it sounds like everything I've read, it's about the dad, even though the dad doesn't want to cop to it.
It's a bad deal,
I'm sure,
man.
You guys don't know too much about UCLA, about our football program. But
well, We still don't. That was classic. 404-726-0929.
And as Matt hits us up on Twitter, he goes, guys, if UCLA and Tulane are the only schools interested, he's not making $4 million.
No, he's not. I don't disagree. And this is why this is the miscalculation. This is playing your cards wrong. Can I transfer in the conference? No.
No.
Okay, what other big-time programs need quarterbacks and what are their situations before you start grabbing yourself and thinking you're the man? He didn't do that. And this is the power that Josh Heupel had. Josh was like, okay, let's see who's willing to pay you out there what you're trying to get, knowing the landscape of college football right now and the programs that are already paying their quarterbacks and where they are. He should have known all of that before he went in there and pounded his chest and said, I'm not showing up for meetings and I'm not doing this, that, and the other.
Well, here's the thing, though. Yeah, he totally overplayed his hand. But I do think, and I know that coaches wouldn't say this, but and I just said there might be some coaches so desperate he'll do anything and he'll pass the hat. But I would think there'd be a lot of coaches that would definitely collude to block out a guy like Nico Emelieva for everything that he represents and how wrong the system is. From Kirby basically saying it, the kind of things that Saban would put out there, and the fact that, you know, Dan Lanning goes, hey, by the way, your boy is shopping his services. So I do think there is a code among some of these coaches.
I agree.
That they would love to see this thing go away. They're not going to say it publicly because it discourages the star quarterback from perhaps coming and getting that NIL bank load.
It's valid. It really is. Your thoughts are welcome, guys. We're coming back. You're going to get to know one of the newest members of this show next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Interesting to hear college football fans chime in on what Tennessee is having to deal with. They have two quarterbacks, by the way, that have been in camp. Josh Heupel said they feel pretty good about him. But Nico Emelieva ends up leaving, and you say, all right, well, what are they going to do? Look, the portal opens up on the 16th. They may be in it themselves. We'll see. But, Mike, you just mentioned something to me that maybe some people don't know.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't have this in our last conversation last segment. I just found it from Josh Pate, who works for CBS Sports. He tweeted out earlier today, there's a story that says Nico Emelieva and others on Tennessee. Doesn't say who.
Okay.
Threatened to opt out of last season's college football playoffs unless they were paid more NIL money.
Mm.
This stuff was happening last December during the playoffs with this kid included, but not just this kid, is a quote. They were trying to get more money from Tennessee and other playoff teams before the playoffs. They were trying to leverage playoff participation.
I believe it.
Our client is being paid X amount of money to participate in 12 games, maybe a 13th if you make the conference championship. But you guys made the playoff. He should make more money. That was the argument behind it. So this friggin' slippery slope that we're into, man, it's like walking down Everest, isn't it?
It is, and I don't like it. I mean, I don't like it because I think it's going to take away from the game eventually. Because, guys, this could happen during the season.
And then we're going to have a strike.
During the season.
But this is what those kids at Dartmouth were trying to do in the Ivy League.
Yep.
Eventually, we're going to have a strike. Because we'll have like a 10 years of whatever this judge comes up with, and then eventually there'll be a period it ends, and then we'll have a strike at college football.
We're going to see. We got to introduce you to a guy that's a new part of our program. We call him Day-Day, but we're going to find out why we call him Day-Day. And he has been a part of the radio station for a long time. You may have heard him on other shows. He is also going to be a part of our show now, and we're happy to have him. And why do we call you Day-Day, by the way?
So, long story short, when I played sports in high school, you know, my name is Damien,
yes.
For those that don't know.
So that's your real name.
Yeah. But you know how it is, the person, particularly in basketball, whoever has the ball, their name is being called. So It was Damien, Day-Day, and it stuck.
I got you. All right, well, look.
Somebody wanted the ball real bad, I guess, huh?
They kept calling.
You know what my nickname was, of course, in college? Ball!
Ball.
Ball!
It happens.
Do you know there's streets, by the way? Day-Day, you work with me, of course. Thanks, Shapiro here, Carl, by the way. Good to visit with you. There's streets all over our country based on my basketball game. One way.
One way.
Generations of bricklayers.
No defense.
And I rewarded because of Steve
Shapiro. I liked Delaria. Who was the Drew that played here back in the day in the 80s? It was Bob Weiss's team. Oh, yeah, Orrin has no idea.
Oh, gosh.
You're giving me nothing, Orrin.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, was it Larry Drew? Who was the Drew that did a lot of cocaine? That was the guy. We had a soundbite back in the old days. It was from like the 80s, and it was basically... No, man, it's like really hard to play both ends. You know, coach wants it, but, you know, so I got to focus on my offense.
No,
it was
just one
it
way.
Was like the
John Drew.
John Drew, thank you.
Yes.
It was the vintage, like, what was wrong before Bird and Magic saved the NBA soundbite.
Typical.
Yes. What was you had one of your Bell's bits one time, and it was like Dusty doing an impression of somebody doing a header off a boat. He's like, We ain't left the dock yet, babe.
Yes, and we had audio from Bo Pog. It was an old interview with Drew. That's thank you. Orrin understands me. Sorry that you couldn't connect the synopsis, but he got it.
Well, no, listen, once you connected all the dots, right. Made sense. So, Day-Day, background, man. You from the A, married, kids. Give the whole giddy up.
Yeah, so originally actually from Connecticut. Went to high school in California and then moved to the A in 92. Shout out to Morris Brown College. Went to college and just like most people that come here to go to college, stayed put.
Yeah.
Now, was the family military or witness relocation?
No. Well, my dad worked in military, but then he was civilian working on Edwards Air Force Base. Fun fact, I saw the first ever space shuttle landing.
Very cool.
Out of Edwards Air Force Base. So that's how I ended up from Connecticut to California. And then again, came here to go to college because the year before going into my senior year, my father dropped my god sister off, and he kind of fell in love with Atlanta and West Brown. So he suggested I look into it. I did. And, you know, back then, you know how you how it is when you're 17, 18, you want to go as far away
as you can.
As you can. Right. So I was like 3,000 miles, book it.
No
so,
doubt.
You know, got here and, you know, originally had a aspiration to do music, which led me getting into radio on the music side, but eventually, after many, many years, you know, kind of started doing my own thing with high school sports, and that kind of drove me back into getting into sports and actually brought me back here because with my high school sports platform, I wanted to be tied to, you know, a station that cared about high school sports,
for
and,
sure.
which 92.9 The Game did. And at the time, I actually came back to be part of V103, but then COVID happened, and I started working with you guys, and here I am.
Awesome.
Right on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome
to
the varsity, kid.
And and you're and you do a great job of covering high school sports, by the way. And make sure you follow him, whether it be social media, and give out your social media handle, by the way.
Yeah, at the D Lewis, the number four real.
All right. And he does a great job with that. Yeah, you're right about caring about high school sports. I'll tell you, when we started the radio station, I was like, hey, you know, because Georgia has such a great high school football scene. And I remember partnered with a couple of different people to get out to games and try to get out and let people know that we were going to be covering this stuff.
Right.
And I know you're out there every Friday night and doing a lot of different things as well. You covered not only football, but basketball and track and field. You love all the stuff. So it's awesome to have you, man. Mm-hmm. We just want to make sure that our audience knows. So when we're saying Day-Day, that's not some you know, a disappearing guy behind
imaginary,
the glass.
Imaginary friend.
Yeah, that's a real person. So when we mention his name, but welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you, brother. While we're talking about this, because we have a guy next to you in Orin who just bought a house. And just moved in. Matter of fact, you were off Friday, correct?
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to say this to everybody out there. If you can afford to have movers, do it.
Well, how did you?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you strap a sofa to your back? What the hell, man?
No.
Like
I'm
something
saying,
about Mary? Remember that scene?
Yes. Get the correction there, the back correction. No, like, we got movers. I'm just saying, like, the whole process, like, we put everything as best we could in just containers and boxes and everything, and they came and they quoted us for like, yeah, we'll give you like, it's an 8-hour job or a 10-hour job. They knocked this thing out in like 4 hours.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It just cleared out an entire house in 4 hours.
You give them a tip?
Oh, yeah, we tipped them. They were very happy with the tip we gave them. But yeah, it's just, if you can get movers, like, I know we're in that age now where it's weird. Like, when you're in your 20s, like, oh, I'm going to get my friends, get some pizzas, get some beers. Like, no, start it early. When you're 20s, hire movers. In your 30s, hire movers. In your 40s, just hire movers. It's
right.
So easy.
It is.
Makes the process so smooth.
I'm with you. And you just sit there and watch.
Watch.
That's the best part.
Do I help them out right now? I'm like, no, they just did what they had to do. They came in with their, it's like a 5-person crew, and they got to work.
Yeah. Last shot, well, obviously, big move was moving here. And I will tell you, they're loading the trucks. There's like two big trucks with the, because, you know, we had a house and a house full of stuff. And the first guy that got there, I'm scratching my head going, oh no, it's gonna be a long day. But like, they're moving the first item out, and a dude trips and they fall, right? And like, one of our chairs gets broken, and the guy goes, sir, that's insured. And first thing he says, it's insured. And I'm like, is this how this is going to go? Ultimately, it didn't. They did a great job.
Every item, I have to kind of question.
Yeah, but then, you know, you're literally sitting there. Chairs broke, table, glass. You know, you're going
through
everything.
Pick up that list and start writing stuff down.
But I'm glad it went well for you. So you're in the new house, but not quite moved in, right?
So we got some stuff set up with workable kitchen, bedroom, TVs, internet, of course. Yeah,
okay.
I had to watch the Masters this weekend. But we came from a house. It was in a nice neighborhood, nice spot, but it was considerably smaller. So the house we came out of, it was three of us, little Franklin, my boy, my wife.
How excited is he, by the way? Is he vibing it?
He's got to be.
He's vibing it, but at the same time, he's taking this chance right now to kind of test some limits.
Oh.
So there's new stuff in the house,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go climb this up real quick. You're going to stop me? Say something to me, please. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go start opening up doors and rooms that I don't like. Just so kind of testing limits right now, but we got a backyard that's like an acre and change. and it's hilly, so he's got a little car. He just pushes his car up the hill, gets in it, just rolls on down. So yeah,
that's cool. That's cool, man. Well, look, congratulations. I know you were all we were without you on Friday, and moving is a task. There's no doubt. Whether you're moving down the street, Mike, or you're moving to the south side, it's a task to move, man.
And again, Oren, I would second that emotion because I've told that story to you about years past. Drunk Larry, and by the way, don't hire Drunk Larry as your mover friend.
No.
Yeah, and holding a mattress on the roof of a Jaguar convertible.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was
moving in a Jaguar convertible.
And the mattress comes flying off, Carl, at the most busy intersection. It's basically Lennox Road and Peachtree. And there we are scrambling to get
gas.
As cars are coming left and right and everything. Yeah, all hell breaking
like
loose.
400 exchange down the street.
We thought we could make it in two trips. You know, it didn't work. Bad idea. So Oren's right, man. Just you get what you pay for. A lot of aggravation.
Wow. All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Day-Day hanging out. Oren, his back is hurting. Mike's legs are hurting from planting all those trees. And I enjoyed the Masters like most of you, as we've been talking about it this weekend. And we'll continue.
So you're not day-to-day today?
No, I'm feeling great. I didn't do any of the stuff that you guys had to do this weekend. But we hope you had a great one. Hey, coming up, by the way, we are going to talk with Connor Riley. Mike, everybody's curious about what happened at G-Day with the dogs. And listen, they say 35,000, 32,000, 38,000, I don't know, somewhere in that range showed up. It was not 90K, you know, 93K day. We expected it not to be, but that doesn't mean that they didn't get the work in. And this is why Kirby, again, Mike keeps saying he wants to do away with it. Maybe he will. But they did get a lot of plays, a lot of opportunity to evaluate the guys that were on the field. We are chasing Brent Key as well. We're going to have him here in the next couple of days. So we'll get a chance to talk to Georgia Tech's head football coach as well and talk to him about what he saw. But, Mike, what you learn in this spring game, and again, it's a glorified practice. I think these coaches kind of already have seen these guys enough to know what they were getting. Right.
And we know that, you know, Kirby, we'll joke around with Connor about it, but, you know, Kirby is sort of trending that maybe this is something he doesn't want to do anymore. There was an injury involving one of the wide receivers, and that's certainly a concern. But when you put folks in front of, 35, however many thousand people around Athens, guys going to put on, you know, a show. They're going to give effort. But as we say, Carl, you could get hurt, man. Hell, you get hurt in your dorm room, man. You can't put these guys in bubble wrap. It is what it is. But there was an injury coming out of it from the wide receiver core. Neither quarterback. You know, we just talked about the transfer portal. Is Kirby prepared to maybe say that Gunnar Stockton? Now, again, I don't think he is, but would you ever feel that they should bring another quarterback in here? Because just a few months ago, we had four guys in that quarterback room, remember?
We did. And listen, Gunnar Stockton, he came in, performed well in the SEC championship game, right, when Carson Beck got hurt against Texas. But I still think he has to earn the job. And I've been saying this all along. Is Ryan Puglisi going to get a fair shot at potentially competing for the job? Mm. Everyone we've talked to said, yes, he's going to get a chance to play, which he did on Saturday. But Mike Gunnar Stockton is ahead of him. He has been ahead. He's gotten more reps. They think he's more ready. But I don't think we got a definitive answer coming out of Saturday's G-Day game. I was expecting Kirby to be like, hey, our quarterback is – he didn't say that. He was like, we competed, we did this, we did that, guys played well, but he didn't really give you an answer. And doesn't he have a tendency to do this leading all the way up until the season starts?
Of course. You know, that's Kirby's style. One thing for certain over with Brent Key, as you mentioned, we're going to reach out, and he'll hopefully be on by tomorrow's show. But he's got his quarterback locked up at Haynes King.
He's good.
And you could argue he's one of the most experienced quarterbacks now. Again, a lot of guys with a lot of experience because of the transfer and how many years they've been in the game. But, yeah, maybe this is the year where Tech, you know, should really compete for the – I mean, is it, I don't want to put like benchmarks on Brent, but I mean, is this year where you get up there and elevate and really compete for the ACC?
Look, I think they're going to be one of the best rushing teams in the country. And that's not saying that lightly. I know he's got offensive linemen they've got to replace, but the running back room is really good. I think they got more dynamic wide receivers with the quarterback play, Mike. The offense should be good. I mean, honestly, like, they should be able to move the ball and score consistently in the red zone. There's no reason why you shouldn't feel that way, especially with Haynes King coming back. The thing about it is, what are they going to be on defense? And I know that, you know, up front, Mike, they kind of got bigger. I think he went after some bigger guys in this particular recruiting class. That bodes well. But I'm not going to tell you that they're not going to be competing for the ACC. Mm. The only thing we know about the ACC is Clemson, right? They played better at the end of the season,
right.
But this is not the dominant Clemson that we saw between like 2015 and, you know, 2021 or whatever it was.
Right. Now, he's in the portal. We've talked about, you know, Dabo is reluctant.
Now.
He had to. I will say this, though. He did pivot, and I did think for a minute there he would go down swinging on that one. When it was only at one point, it was kind of crazy that it was just the service academies in Clemson that weren't in the portal.
What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
I've listened to enough of you.
Now, I will say this, SMU came in, and no one, I mean, we knew they were on the uptick, but SMU looked like they belong. I mean, I don't know what you think of the ACC right now. Miami loses their quarterback, but now Carson Beck, and Carson Beck won't be able to be 100% until late in the camp for the Hurricanes too, by the way.
Yeah, I just think, you know this, down year for Florida State, the wild card is North Carolina with Belichick. Right,
you start you see his girl at practice. We'll talk about this in Guy Talk. See his girl at practice?
No, I didn't see it.
We'll talk about it.
All right, but I just think that Georgia Tech has as good a chance as anybody with the guys they have coming back. All right, coming back, we'll talk to Connor Riley from Dog Nation next.